Inside Crime is brought to you by A Block Media, a full-service consulting firm specializing in media solutions for the law enforcement community. Law enforcement professionals know A Block is a partner they can trust. I'm Angeline Hartman. As a journalist, I've worked with cops and victims of crime all over the country. My craft is storytelling. My passion is crime fighting. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Inside Crime. In just 2 weeks since we launched this new season about Dennis, the unidentified little boy found in DeKalb County, Georgia, the response has been amazing. You should know that this podcast is being produced in real time. That means I'm giving you the latest information about this case as it happens every week. After 20 years of trying to solve this mystery, investigators tell me that because of all the renewed media attention, and thanks to you, our Inside Crime listeners, the momentum is stronger now than ever before.
You're fixing dinner, you look at the news, or you just happen to be on the internet and view this image out on the website like Inside Crime and go, wait a minute, I wonder if, and decide to reach out.
Yeah. It's really something to think about people taking the time to make that call and to get involved like that, you know?
It's huge. It's huge. It's been huge for us, and we're thankful that folks do take the time.
Patrick Bailey is the director of the DeKalb County Medical Examiner's Office. We've known each other since my early reporter days. He was a detective at DeKalb Police back then. Over the years, we built a close, professional relationship and have worked on this case together before. That's why he's so open to talking with me about this investigation now. Director Bailey wants Inside Crime listeners to have the right information to be able to help.
We've received some repetitive, but we've actually gotten some new leads on some cases that we weren't aware of that we're actively pursuing today.
I know there are some things that you are not able to disclose at this time, but let's talk about what you can discuss.
So, as I mentioned earlier, there have been multiple call-ins regarding Dennis. And some have been calls that we have not received in the past that we're currently pursuing. Some in the local area that we are pursuing that appear to be viable at this point. So we're gonna knuckle down and try to run those leads to see where they take us. You know, keeping an open mind and hopefully, you know, I always think positively. Hopefully, it'll lead to something that'll give us a lead definitively and help us identify who Dennis is.
People have called in about a child out of Texas, right? Can you talk a
little
bit about that?
Yes, there was a child reported missing out of Texas at or about the same time. His name was Dorian Thomas. That one kind of sends a smile to my face because Dorian bears a strong resemblance to Dennis.
Director Bailey is talking about Dorian Thomas, a missing child from Amarillo, Texas. Dorian was 9 years old when he disappeared on October 26, 1998, just a few months before the unidentified child was found in the woods in DeKalb County. Dorian's family says he loved riding his bicycle, and that's what he was doing in the neighborhood when he suddenly vanished. At the time of his disappearance, Dorian was wearing a red t-shirt, blue jeans, and black and white tennis shoes. None of the items, including his beloved bicycle, have ever been recovered. Over the years, many calls have come into the DeKalb County Medical Examiner's Office, suggesting there might be a connection to Dorian Thomas. In 2005, Pat Bailey was an investigator working on the case when he got one of those calls. I remember you told me about that you thought, I've got it. This is the one, right?
Yes.
What was so similar about that one?
He was similar, although he was on the top end in terms of age when he went missing. The resemblance to the reconstruction at the time bore a strong resemblance to Dennis. And the time period at which Dorian went missing was close to Dennis, which would put him at or around the time Dennis would have turned up with us. So once I saw that image, I go, "That's him. That's got to be him."
Right.
But you know, like most things, you want to make sure you got your solid stuff in place before you start pursuing a new lead. And I reached back to an old detective, or a war dog, so to speak, Woody Hall, who had informed me that it had been ruled out at that point in time.
Yeah.
But it did get me excited. I'll fully admit it got me excited.
Another name that often pops up in this investigation is Tavish Sutton. Tavish was just a baby when he disappeared from an Atlanta hospital in 1993. When investigators first got his name, they reacted quickly.
The fact that he was from the Atlanta area, you want to jump on that one quick. Thomas appeared to be a little bit more resembling Dennis. Tavish, because he's from the area, that one kind of reached and grabbed you and go, "Oh my God, that's got to be him as well." But yeah, those two are the closest, but of course they were both been ruled out.
Yeah. It's got to be something for people to pick up the phone and or send an email to call you guys, right? To think about, like, because they, whenever somebody makes that call, they really believe in their mind they're holding the piece of information that could break this open.
I think some of this has to do with people going, thinking back to that time period and going, "You know, I remember that small kid that used to run around the neighborhood, or I remember that classmate of mine that just didn't show up for school the next day."
And now, one woman says she does remember. She called investigators about a classmate of hers, a little boy who suddenly didn't show up for school one day. Would you call that your number one, the strongest lead that you're following right now, or no?
To date, yeah, it is the strongest lead we've received.
The director tells me the woman lives in Metro Atlanta, and she believes she was in second grade back then.
She's now in her late 20s, and she saw the current image of Dennis, and that took her back to her elementary school days and wondered what had happened to that young boy that was in her class. It touched her so much that she decided to call in to the national network. They referred it to us, and we're currently pursuing it.
Wow. What was your first reaction to that?
I got giddy again, so to speak.
Yeah, me too.
As a detective, you get heightened, and you go, you don't want to get overly excited, but you get overly excited.
Right.
And once, as a detective, you get something that has some teeth to it, you want to run it out. But you also want to make sure you don't miss anything, so is hurry up and slow down.
Right. And so you guys are in the process of doing that now.
Yes.
That's exciting. That's really something.
Yes. It's again, it's one of those things where we're excited. We got a lead that we hadn't pursued in the past. But we want to make sure we get our basics down right before we, in hopes of not missing anything.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking my call. The woman you're about to hear from has given permission to be recorded. She just prefers to keep her name out of this for now.
I was just watching the news and I saw it pop up and I said, I wonder if that has to be the same little boy that my mom was talking about. And I said, I don't know if this is who you're talking about, but I said, I'll send you the picture that I can pull up from online and see if this, if it looks like the kid that you're speaking about. And when I sent it to her, she goes, that's him.
This is a brand new lead. When you first saw the story on the news, you automatically thought, let me send that to my mom, because of all of this, all of these years you had heard the story? Or what made you send that to her?
Yes, because I had heard it.
The woman says her mother worked for nearly 30 years as an educator in Georgia. Her mom says she once had a little boy in her classroom, a child that suddenly wasn't there one day.
But she remembers pretty much every child she's ever taught. Every child that's ever crossed her path, she can remember them, things about them, their parents, you know, their siblings. And she said, I'm telling you, and she said, he used to dress so nice. She said, he really was a sweet kid. But all she knows for sure is she never felt good about the fact that this child never came back to that school. And she never heard anything.
A child found dead in a DeKalb County cemetery 20 years ago today. The case horrified the metro Atlanta area.
And after two decades, it still haunts investigators. Tonight, a new push for answers with the release of a new podcast and a new reconstruction of the victim's likeness.
The woman contacted Fox 5 Atlanta to see if she could help get answers for her mother. The station passed along the number to the medical examiner's office and gave her my number.
I'm not trying to get these people in trouble. It's just that little boy looks like the little boy I knew.
The retired educator wants to share her story, but she prefers not to share her name.
And I could be wrong. I hope I am. I told them I hope I was, because I really liked the little boy, because it was something about him that was kind of sad and something like he was a sweet little boy. He was maybe a little devilish, maybe. You know, you tell him don't get up, they get up. Maybe he was hard-headed, but I admired him because he always dressed nice. He always. And those Timberlands had just come out at that time. And he would come in there with them on and the little baggy and the hoodie thing. But I'm just thinking that's that little boy. I really do. And I hope I'm wrong.
She says she called police back in 1999. When the little boy's skeletal remains were first discovered, she says she reported that a second grader in her class, fitting the description, had suddenly stopped showing up for school.
And that's when the two detectives came out and talked with me. And I even took them around the neighborhood because they were in an unmarked car so that it wouldn't get me in trouble with the neighbors.
The woman says she showed the detectives where the boy used to live with relatives. She says that's when detectives saw a chilling coincidence. A car parked at that house matched the same car described by a possible witness at the cemetery in DeKalb County.
And we rode around in the neighborhood and I pointed the house out. One of them looked at the other one. And he said, oh, my God. And it was in that yard. And that detective even said, oh, my God.
It seemed everything was lining up. Could the little boy from her class really be the same child found in the woods? She says detectives later told her that she was wrong, that the child had apparently moved to a detention facility of some sort. A detention center in second grade? The woman says that never settled right with her, especially because if that did happen, she says she would have known. Because why?
Because I was the assistant in the office, too. And when I didn't have kids, if a child was getting transferred to another school, their records have to be transferred to that school also. So I would run off the child's records and give them to the school mail, and they would go to the school the child go to. So nobody got transferred from a school that maybe I didn't do the paperwork for them to be sent. And I never sent any for him, and he just never showed up. I never saw him again.
I actually have chills. I mean, I have a younger son that is the age of this young man. If someone did do something to him, whether intentionally or accidentally, and to think of them living with this torment all this time. I just can't imagine a child being in that situation. You know, it just breaks my heart to think that something like that happened to someone, yeah. An innocent child, you know.
There are more details that make the woman's story very interesting. It's a lead that investigators will definitely check. No matter how it turns out, though, the mother and daughter are doing exactly what investigators have been asking all along. If you have any information, big or small, that could be related to the unidentified child in the woods, They want to hear from you. Coming up next on Inside Crime.
Unlike every other case we have covered, there is so much love for this child,
yes,
that emanates through the police work, the media, the medical examiner. Everyone that's been involved has been so passionate about giving this boy's case some resolution.
More eyes on this mystery than ever before. That's coming up on Inside Crime. Inside Crime is produced by A Block Media. For more information about this episode, check out our website, insidecrime.com. Feel free to drop me an email too. I would love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening. I'm your host, Angeline Hartman. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode of Inside Crime.